love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Can't get over the new opening. So 80s.
Why is it not?
So max headroom. Phone number, yeah. I don't know. I always think I have these theories about a lot of things in life. One of it is nobody likes this music. Nobody.
Yeah, but nobody. It immediately says 84.
And it just says guy with bad skin, bucket head with the bad bang haircut. Yeah. All right, please. I'm going to have an epileptic seizure if I hear that crap anymore. Oh, thank Christ.
Oh, it's a limit to it.
All right, everybody. It's Loveline.
There we go.
No one hates their own show more than Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. No, we don't hate the show. We hate the beginning, though.
Yeah. You hate the callers.
Yeah, I don't like the callers. I don't like a lot of listeners. I don't like the opening now. And I'm sort of iffy.
You love yourself.
Chris.
You like yourself on radio.
Engineer Chris, I'm all right with. I like him. I like him at $10 an hour.
He's an okay kid.
If he was getting like $11.75, I'd be pissed. But as long as he's just cracking the double digits, I'm fine.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, Dick's medicine specialist. You get new frames on your glasses?
Oh yeah, I had to change my whole
nothing wrong
prescription.
That's oh yeah, good. That's right.
Did I tell you about my ophthalmological freak out I had one day?
Drew went to the eye doctor.
Yeah, I've been to.
Turns out he couldn't see.
Yeah, there you go.
Then he went home and got a divorce.
Ha ha.
No. Tell you something about Drew's wife. You know, not a high school girl, but attractive. I don't want to say older woman, but I'll just say attractive woman who's the appropriate age to be married to Drew.
Right. She's been attractive at whatever age she's been.
Yeah, nothing.
Which is nice.
Nothing happened to her. Yeah. No.
Even triplets. Through triplets. Imagine that.
Through triplets.
Okay.
And all, yeah. Yeah, you know, that pushes your belly out and stuff.
No kidding.
Got it right together. All right, where are we going here, Drew?
Take some calls.
Go on the phones?
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about my book?
Let's talk about Drew's book.
Okay, let's talk about this one.
Andrew?
Yeah, I was wondering, what's the title and where can I purchase it?
Pretty much anywhere. Certainly Amazon, and it's called When Painkillers Become Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually pretty
Amazon.
Good. What's that?
I was on Amazon tonight, and I searched up your name, and I didn't see.
You're gay. It's When Painkillers Become Dangerous. I saw it on Amazon. It's there. I don't think they've even put up a picture yet, but it's there. It's like only like $9. I mean,
well, sounds expensive. Hold on a second.
It's a good book.
$9. Chris, you only have to work 4 hours to get it.
But it's actually a pretty good book.
Yeah. Rich guy making fun of a guy who doesn't make money. That's good radio. That's great radio. All right. Hey, Andrew. Were you worried about painkillers taking over your life?
No, I just like I like to crack, so I thought it'd be a good
thing. All right.
This one's much more specific. Just you know, if you have a problem, here's why.
How many pages, Drew?
It's not that long. It's probably 150 pages.
150.
It's small. It's a paperback. Like our first book.
Right.
Kind of like that. What they call those?
The book we wrote was like almost 300 pages.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. But it's like that same size as that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know what they call those. They seem to be about 6 inches by 9 inches,
yeah,
or maybe 8 inches. And do they have that at the place where they keep the books, where they lend them to people?
They will one
day,
I hope. I hope they'll be at the library.
What's that again?
Library.
That's the place where they lend you books?
Why don't we just call it the Biblioteca?
Biblioteca?
That's got a book in it.
The Biblioteca sounds like there's a mirror ball swinging from the ceiling.
But isn't Biblio book?
I guess
it
is.
Spanish, right? You took Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you how I know let me just say this about me taking Spanish. I had to get a D on the final in order to graduate high school. I had failed just enough classes and screwed up just enough so that when it came down to the final end of my senior year, if I would have failed Spanish, I wouldn't have had enough credits to actually graduate or participate or whatever it is. As it turns out, you know, they in LA Unified, they do don't even know why I went to school. I went to school to play football and hang out with people. But they, you know, they do finals. And they'll do, like, you know, your homeroom final will be on Tuesday, and then second and third period will be on Wednesday. Whatever, however it worked out, finals for Spanish were on the last day, and then graduation was, like, the next day.
Right.
So as it turns out, the one class I was probably going to fail if I didn't pull off a miraculous D in Spanish would have been Spanish and would have been at the last day. So I really didn't know if I was going to be able to graduate or not. As it turns out, by the way, 20 years later, have never been asked and have never had a job
but just for the
that
record,
involved it.
Just for the record, did you get the D?
For the record, I got the D.
Yeah. Good job.
I did two things. I actually studied, but just to play it safe, I cheated almost verbatim from the Asian chick who was in front of me. You know, I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to go to summer school. Now, little did I know that I would immediately launch into a career of carpet cleaning, then segue into carpentry, then ditch digging, and then boxing, and then trainer, and then, you know, comedy. As it turns out, I've never had to fill out an application my entire life.
Well, good, because not only would you have nothing to put down, I'm not sure you could actually do it.
I'm not sure I could actually do it either, but so far the whole no. And here's the deal, everybody. I don't even know that anyone ever really checks. I swear to Christ. As a matter of fact, you know what everyone over 22 ought to do? Just pick a good college, learn three or four things about it, and you're covered for the rest of your life.
Oh.
I could tell you, learn where Amherst is. I could go to... listen, here's all. Here, I'm done. I'll just tell everyone I went to Amherst. It's in Boston. Lord Jeff's are the name thing. Oh, yeah, name a couple. Find one pizza place on campus and name it. Find the name of the football team. Remember the name of the dorm. You say learn five to eight beats about any college, and you're done with 99.999% of people you're going to run into, unless for some reason there's somebody who went to Amherst and has a bone to pick with you and doesn't believe you.
You know, while you were advocating this deviant behavior,
yeah.
I bring up with you that I ran into a couple of people this week who have taken your recommendation towards civil disobedience.
Yeah, turning left.
Two people now I've spoken to, both with tickets for turning left and right.
But they're heroes.
And they're stopping.
They're martyrs.
They're stopping.
They're
the
martyrs.
Now they're going to stop.
They're going to stop.
Yeah, they got tickets.
Okay, let me
the man got them.
Let's tell you a couple things here in Southern California. I'm not going to launch. I'm not launching a tirade. Just when the arrow turns red, which it should never do, and the signal's green, and there's no cars coming, turn. That's what I do. That's what I continue to do. That's what I always do. Look for cops and then turn. You didn't talk to two people that got
tickets.
No,
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
They're heroes. They're
martyrs. They weren't from this town.
They weren't?
No.
Where are they from?
Other affiliates and things.
Oh, really? Other parts of the country?
I did a radio tour. Yeah.
Heroes,
yeah.
Heroes and martyrs. I need a picture of them so I can burn a candle.
I think one of them was, remember Danny Boy we met at the Axe party?
Yep.
I think he was one of them.
Good.
Yeah.
Hero. Hero and martyr now. Now martyr. Hero while he's doing it, martyr. Fight it. Everyone should fight it. Fight every ticket, by the way. Just do that.
Hey, I'm trying to fight mine.
Drew,
And I cannot figure out what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. You go online, it says, sorry, you can't do anything more online with this.
Drew, you're a hero and a farter.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Figure it out, Drew, and fight the man, would you? Everybody, fight every ticket they get, especially in Los Angeles. If you get them in other cities, I assume you earn them.
Hmm.
L.A., you don't earn them. I had to go to a meeting early Friday morning. Was driving down the hill, 8:30 in the morning.
On Beechwood?
Yep, down Beechwood, and four-way stop sign. Anyway, saw some Prius pulled over, cop car behind it, way up the hill. And I thought to myself, first off, should we even be pulling over hybrids? Shouldn't we cut them a little slack? Like, once in a while, I see a guy pulled over on a bike, see a guy pulled over on foot, see a guy, you know, here's the whole thing. If you're jogging, if you're on a bike, if you're in hybrid, come on.
Move along.
We got some global warming going on out there. Cut the guy some slack. The car barely does 70. Yeah, you know, I mean, it is possible to speed in a Prius, but you know the car's got a sewing machine engine in it and 10-speed tires. Give the guy a break. It's not exactly a Nova with a shaker scoop and some torque thrust tires on it. You know, it's a chick driving a Prius. She's got to be like a 55-year-old woman. Looks to be of looks like a single Mexican mother driving a Prius. Probably some sort of secretary trying to make it to downtown. Probably rolled through a four-way, and the man's giving her a ticket. That's what we need. Perfect. Yeah. Never enough guys, by the way. By the way, in L.A., if you call the cops, we get your house robbed, you call the cops, unless the guy's there and he's currently sodomizing you, they don't show up. They don't show up for hours and hours and hours. Give it a try. I mean, if you live in Beverly Hills, maybe, but not in L.A. County. Have fun. Yeah, never enough manpower. Always enough for the chicken-ass tickets. Never enough to actually come over. And here's a way we ought to do it. Why don't we just do it this way? Let's just start giving them money. You know what I mean? Just
yeah,
go, look.
That's fine.
Look, obviously you guys are motivated by money. That's why you're handing out all the chicken-ass tickets, especially in Burbank, or as I like to call it, Rape Bank. You guys are motivated by money. Here's the deal. Look, someone ransacked the house. Looks like they're gone. I'm going to need a guy over the next 4 hours. Here, there's $100 in it. Yeah, I'll give you $100. I'll write you a check for $100. Come on down.
Sure.
It's worth it to me. What do you charge for the fingerprint guy? $175?
Compared to the what
send
does
him
your,
to.
How about does your insurance when they F with you?
Yeah, send him down. We'll pay you. How about that? Or just call spade a spade. We need money. We need that's what motivates us. It's fine. You've turned it into a business. Fantastic. But then we get to stop paying taxes. See, here's the deal. Either we stop paying taxes and you get to continue your shakedown, or you knock off the chicken ass shakedown and we'll keep paying the taxes. But it can't be both.
How about we just have the freedom to go through our life without the shakedowns?
It'd be
we
nice.
We pay for that.
It'd be nice. Fun. Katie? Yeah, like I said, especially Burbank. Just charge an extra, charge everyone an extra $100 a month so they can go about their lives without being effed with. Go ahead, Katie. You're 16.
Yeah, my question is that after girls have sex, like after a while, like do they tighten back up?
No.
They don't?
No, they become, you know what pizza dough is like when the guy's throwing it in the air?
Yeah.
That's what happens. And once in a while it tears.
And it flies open.
And it just flies open and lands on a coffee machine. Actually, it usually lands on the orange Bang dispenser.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Maybe it's Orange Whip. Did Orange Whip sue Orange Bang or Orange Bang sue? It's the same product. One's Orange Bang. All right.
So, Katie, listen.
Hold on a second. Where is Orange Bang and Orange Whip? Does that exist anymore?
Orange Julius? Is that still around?
I want stuff with orange in it. I want some Orange Bang or some Orange Whip. Chris, you know what Orange Bang or Orange Whip is? Yes? All right. And people must know.
Chris
what it
saying,
is.
Yes, because I'm afraid to say no.
Chris, hold on a second. You know what Orange Bang, Orange Whip is? You know.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
What are they?
All right.
Well, it's like Orange Julius kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that.
All right.
What Orange Soda is.
Hold on a second.
I've never had an Orange Bang.
Hold on.
I've seen the little logo.
Orange
on here
Bang or Orange Whip.
I've had Orange Julius.
Never had an Orange Bang or
no.
Orange Whip.
No.
I usually get it at Mexican restaurants, too.
Ah.
Yeah.
I'll go seek it
well,
out.
Well, now you do. Everything ends up there eventually. Whitey gets tired of it and ends up at the Mexican joint. You get some horchata over there. And they say what
horchata.
You want about the the rice-based beverage. You put enough sugar in there and enough cinnamon. It actually starts tasting good after a while.
Horchata's the greatest.
All right. Katie.
Yeah.
All right, Katie, listen. What I
Hold
normally-
on. You know what Orange Bang or Orange Whip is?
I have no idea.
All right. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Horchata?
What?
Horchata?
No.
San
right.
Diego.
who fought in World War II?
Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States.
All right, slow down.
Good. Who else?
France.
France, yeah.
Right, sort of, yeah.
Who was on German side?
Japan?
Yeah.
All right.
No, that was good. That was good. That was good. All right. We're going to send you out a windbreaker. Listen, here's the whole thing. Yeah. Katie, and everybody, for that matter, do not revel too long in the glow of a very easy, obvious answer. It'll make you seem stupid. Like if someone...
At least you knew it.
No, you knew it. I know you knew it. But what I mean is like if you say to me, what's 2 times 3? And I go... 6, and you go, you're right. I go, oh, my God.
Two times
yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, eventually, after about the fifth yeah,
yeah,
you're going to think I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm pumping my arm and
stuff. The first
one. If I look like I hit a half-court shot at the halftime of a Laker game, yeah, and I'm dancing around like that, yeah, you're going to think I'm an a-hole.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You're guessing on the obvious.
I'm just saying, Katie, you figuring out Japan and Germany is good.
Uh-huh.
But
keep it yourself.
But not great. Yeah, it's just good.
Katie, here's the deal. What I normally tell people that are preoccupied with this sort of thing is that part of your body was designed to handle a baby's head coming in down it and then go back to normal.
That's right.
A man's penis is not going to do a damn thing to it.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
No.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Sure. Hey, Katie.
What?
Veal and venison.
Difference?
What?
What is veal as opposed to venison?
I have no idea.
Do you know what venison is?
No.
What about veal?
Isn't that like baby cow?
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Well done,
all right, Katie.
You passed all of our tests.
Good job, baby doll. All right. I'll see you in junior college.
Okay.
All righty. Take
whatever.
Care. Whatever. All right. Well, that's not bad. She was 500 on the veal and venison.
By our caller's standards, are you kidding? Off the charts.
Can't measure her IQ. Stephen Hawking by
Loveline caller standards.
All right.
What?
Nah, I'm becoming mildly obsessed with the orange bang, orange whip thing. I want to know what happened to it and when it fell
off. All right, so somebody that can tell us about the orange bang, orange whip, please do it. And Chris, check that on the web.
Nell?
Mm-hmm?
Orange bang, orange whip?
Never heard of it, but I do like horchata.
All right, she likes horchata.
That's good. It's from Tempe. Mm.
Mm-mm. It's good. It's probably a bad sign if you know what horchata is. Veronica?
Yes?
Who? 19.
when were you molested? When were you molested, baby doll?
Hey, I wasn't molested.
What happened?
Something happened.
Something happened. What happened?
Nothing happened. I was a good girl.
We can't hear you.
Speak up a little, please. Orange bang or orange whip? You heard of them?
I haven't.
All right, hold on.
That is...
All right, I'm now obsessed.
And by the way, the fact that she takes that as I was a good girl question is even more disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Did somebody abuse you? No, I was a good girl.
Yeah. Veronica?
Yes?
Okay, let's talk.
Okay,
where's your dad?
My dad's at home.
He's at home?
More jello, please.
Mm-hmm.
We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me?
You speak up.
Are you on a cell phone?
I am.
Okay, can you... all right, hold on.
You're talking to a caller. Maybe she's not 19, maybe she's 11 or something.
Maybe she should go somewhere where her reception's a little better, or pull over or something. I don't know if she's driving or where she is. Veronica?
Can you hear me?
Yes. All right, what's your question?
My question is, after my boyfriend and I have sex, I have a little discharge, and it's kind of milky, and it smells. And I'm worried that I don't know what it is or why it's there. And if
you had this just one time?
No, it's been going on for probably the past month.
Okay, is there irritation also with this?
No, not really.
Because is there any pelvic pain?
No.
Because a milky discharge with irritation is a sexually transmitted disease. I mean, that really is.
Okay.
Going
to plane.
The milky discharge is actually the one that are more likely to be an infection.
Oh, really?
People worry about the thick ones and the stinky ones and the snot. Those really aren't the ones that are...
Milky ones.
The milky...
Is that
thin,
pussy? Yeah. Does that mean infection?
It does. It
the presence of pus?
It can, yeah.
All right. So she should go to Planned Parenthood or a doctor?
A doctor just needs a pelvic exam and a culture.
Probably should be doing that anyway. She's sexually active.
Yeah.
Veronica?
Yes, sir.
What are you using for birth control?
Orthocycline.
There we go.
That's a good girl. Where'd you get it?
Planned Parenthood.
Good. Excellent. Get the discharge checked out.
Get yourself thrown up on the rack there. That's what they do. Put you up on the rack.
Yeah.
Boy, this orange bang, orange whip thing is profoundly disturbing to me. The fact that Drew's never had it.
I've seen the dispensing machine with the orange bang on the plastic.
Thank Christ.
I've seen that.
Thank Christ.
Well, I'm on orangebang.com. So
yeah,
they got different drinks and stuff.
Is orange whip one of them?
Yeah, one of them too.
The orange whip
thing.
Olay non-carbonated fruit juice drinks and stuff like that.
Oh, Olay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
It's in Silmar.
All right. I'm going to have to
so
get
it's a local
there.
Thing.
I might have to go there and load up on Orange Bang.
So around the country, people
whip.
May not even know what that
they
is.
They might not. They might not. Although, you know, we drink Snapple out here.
Good point.
Drew's got a candy bar in his mouth, so he's scared of ducks.
No, I'm talking.
Yeah, sure you are. All right, let's get back to fun. Listen, Orange Bang and Orange Whip is delightful. It's like Orange Julius. It's like
I liked orange. I always liked Orange Julius.
Let me tell you something about orange. Orange soda alone, not great. You really, it's sort of like grape soda. Grapes are good. Right. Grape juice are good. Grape soda, not great.
Yeah.
Oranges are good, orange juice is good, orange soda, not so great. Mm. And there's other things like strawberries good, strawberry soda,
not
crappy.
Good, yeah.
Unless you're some crazy ethnicity and you're stoned off your ass, maybe it's good. But basically, for sane people, it's not considered a good beverage. You have to be stupid, really, to enjoy certain
you
beverages.
You have to like syrup.
Yeah. You have to actually be one of these people that prefers Mrs. Butterworth to the pure maple syrup. Right. And there's a handful of idiots out there, by the way, who like bad.
Right.
I'll tell you who those people are, by the way. They're either kids under 9 or stupid adults. Now, listen to me, all you idiots out there. The fact that you like certain things, like you like Sunny D better than grape juice, which I found out from Nicole Richie. I almost Ooh. Dove across the console and strangled her to death. Yeah. She looked me in the eye and she said, I don't like that Welch's grape juice, but I do like Sunny D. And I said, okay, that means you're mentally retarded.
She
have a mental disorder. I don't know. Maybe they were
sponsored
the show.
I think she accepted
that, by the way. The point is... my nephews come over, I make them pancakes, and they like Log Cabin better than the Trader Joe's pure maple syrup.
Right.
That's because they're 6 and 7 years old.
Right.
They try to pull that ass at 27, I'm going to take them in for a PET scan.
Right.
There's got to be a tumor. Those of you who are 25 and like the imitation corn syrup with the brown coloring in it and the fake butter flavor better than the actual thing that it was actually trying to mimic, the real maple syrup, that's not a taste thing. That means you're stupid. That means you're smart as my 6-year-old nephew. The only difference is they get smarter every week, and you're pretty much flatlining, probably heading down marginally. It'll be a free fall. It'll be free fall soon.
It's sort of like retarded animals eating stuff, not discriminating.
Yeah, eating their own fecal matter,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. And as a society, let's stop chalking everything up to personal preference. There's bad music, there's Sunny D, there's a fake maple syrup. If you like that kind of stuff, you're dumb. That's it.
but maybe dumb's not
Thank
the right
you.
Word. It's a problem because it was deficient. How about that?
Let's put it this way. Everyone else is smart and you're not.
Because everyone knows.
How about that?
But everyone knows, like, the computer, crazy computer nerds that like the orange soda or something weird like that, you know?
What,
it's like
look,
the yummy stuff.
I'll allow everybody their own bizarre thing. It's just, you can take a couple of zigs and zags.
Not everything, though.
Not everything. When it comes down to the syrup.
Yeah.
Really, pure maple. Jimmy's,
You don't like that big wheel at the International House of Pancakes?
I do, but if in the middle of that wheel was some Vermont pure maple syrup, that would be going on first.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless you're high. If you're high, then you go with the boysenberry.
Well, you bring
and
up an
actually
you bring up an interesting
the balls
point.
Of butter.
But listen, you bring up an interesting point.
I like the balls of butter.
Because the scoops of butter.
Yeah.
Because what people do when they're high is they tend to see
they
things.
They revert.
No, they see things as novel. Everything's novel.
Yeah. There's so nine
is,
again,
yeah,
too.
Like, oh, my God. It's strawberry syrup. That's so cool. And
right.
There you go.
This one's purple and this one's kind of brown.
So
I'm going
so
with purple.
So novelty rather than discrimination becomes the motivator.
All right.
Interesting, huh?
I just want to... It should be, yeah.
I'll take a break.
I'll tell you who chicks tend not to know things. That's what makes them good moms. They don't know nothing. They spend time with kids because they know the same amount as the kids do. Guys. I want to talk to some guys.
Who what?
Orange Bang, Orange Whip.
Who know about that or who
or
like
don't.
It?
I got a question. I got to quiz them. I don't trust the
okay.
women.
Okay.
Anderson, you know Orange Bang or Orange Whip?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, it's like, I always see it like in the food courts at malls.
But have you had them both?
I've had neither.
Okay. Uh-huh. See, it's me.
All right. Listen, he knows who Huell Hauser is, at least.
Yeah, I know.
You grew up in this city.
I got to have it to qualify?
No, you don't. You don't. Just you have to recognize it. Let me tell you, we got to go to break. everyone hates this kind of talk, but I'll tell you the gene chicks don't have. They look at the Orange Bang label at the food court 3,000 times, just like we do. It doesn't stick. Guys got the stick gene with that. Women, I'm telling you, it makes them better parents. It makes them better
women.
Better humans. Makes whatever that gene is, it makes that thing stick in your head. They don't have
it. You know what it is?
It makes them better at other things.
They tend to be less detail, more global, more holistic.
That's right. Yeah. That's why they like Oprah. Right. She's round. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Hey, it's Love Line. Woo! It's Love Line. Yeah. Just driving in tonight, I should say, listened to a little radio, heard a little weather report. It was 68. Out in Encino, and 68 in Orange, and then 68 at the Civic Center. I just thought, Jesus Christ, it's art imitating life, or life imitating art. Reading the temp. And by the way, people may not know the Southern California area. If it's 68 in Encino and 68 in Orange, just shut your pie hole for the third one. Because everything is somewhere in between. It's like saying on one end of the pier, it's 68, and on the other end of the pier, it's 68. We don't need the middle temperature. It's that side, and everything in between.
I wonder if other cities give reports of the surrounding suburbs.
They just can't.
They can't. 8 miles away.
They can't. And here's the deal. Every car that was made after 1997 has a temp meter inside the car.
And by the way, if you're going to stop at Yucaipa, why not go on into San Diego?
Go into San Diego. Have that go into Mexicali,
sure,
and Calexico. Why not make a difference, by the way. Go up Baja, and let's just start floating into Central America. In Panama, 68.
We might learn something then, Adam. We might actually have a difference in the ambient temperature.
Yeah. Hey, here's a news flash. In Guatemala, 67.
Oh, my, and raining.
And some precipitation, yes.
Oh, yeah, God.
There you go. Just keep going. Keep spreading out. Here's the deal. Keep going until it changes 2 degrees. That's news. Now that's news. 68 on one end of the valley, 68 on the other end of Orange County, 68 somewhere in the middle. Fantastic. Keep that news coming, everybody.
I was talking to a friend tonight, and he goes, where is that bullet train? That came out of his mouth spontaneously. He's not listening to the show. And he goes,
bullet train to Vegas?
And he goes, and why don't we have trains in this town? Underground trains, no transportation. I mean, within 3 minutes, both those things came out of his mouth.
But, good.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, LA's falling apart. All right, let's keep on keeping on and get to a more upbeat topic.
You want to do Orange Whip? Orange Whip.
Oh, someone knows Orange Whip. Okay. He works at a hot dog stand and sells orange whips. Jacob.
Yes, Adam.
Yes, you guys sell orange whip?
Yeah, we sell orange whip, and we have like a soda fountain, but the most popular drink is an orange whip.
What's the difference between orange whip and orange bang?
Well, orange whip is in this big, glass thing, and it's constantly being,
Oh, yeah, those things.
But that's the orange bang. That's with the stuff going down the side.
Yeah, Drew's saying bang on that one.
No,
that's where
I've seen
orange bang.
We call it an orange whip because it's constantly being,
sure enough.
Oh, is that this one? That's this one.
That's that tank. That's the hopper on top that's just, looks good.
With the stuff coming down the side.
Yeah, it's just kind of hopping around up there.
Constantly moving, so it's
right.
Right.
That's how
it keeps
that whip.
All right, so I'm starting to put them on hold because this line is horrible. Who buys them? People that love the great frothy taste of orange.
Is there any trend of the young people, older people?
Now let's try to figure it. Jacob, who buys orange whip?
Who?
What group? All right, the phone's all jacked up. Drew, what do you want him to say?
I was
curious. No. Everybody loves orange. Here's who can't drink orange whip. People on diets. Other than that, you should dig orange whip.
Right.
And here's the thing, orange whip is really it's not good. It's Twinkie, not good. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing. let me explain something. The real McCoy is always good. Once in a while, something gets so bad it's good, and then it just becomes its own thing.
Twinkie. Twinkie good.
Twinkie's its own thing.
Now they have fried Twinkies. Heard about that?
I know. Big. They have fried Snickers bars. Yeah. It's fantastic. Big Mac.
Its own thing.
Its own thing. There's a couple of things that are their own things.
Yeah.
Those are the things, by the way, that if the Shiites got you and held you captive for 3 months, that'd be what you'd want because it would remind you of your country.
Right. That's why when they take those things away, like the Enchirito, you get so mad.
I was angry over the Bell Beefer when Taco Bell took that away.
That's only Bell Beefer.
That was my thing. Jasmine?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby doll?
About 3 or 4 years ago, I was being sexually molested by my mom's ex-boyfriend.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And currently he's in prison back in California.
Because of what he did to you, or?
Mm-hmm.
So you reported it?
What?
You reported what had happened?
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
And I was wondering, do you think, like, what he did to me, like, my experiences with him, do you think it would have any effect on, like, my future relationships?
Well, what did he do to you?
Well, when he thought I was sleeping, he would come into my room and he would touch me inappropriately. And,
Yeah.
He was just very manipulative and he was...
Okay, but you reported this or somebody found out about it?
Somebody else found out about it and...
How?
They kind of did the reporting for me.
Well, you told somebody?
Yeah, it was kind of by accident though, but I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. Well,
she stood up and defended herself.
No, but listen to everybody who has been or is sitting on a secret or is currently being molested, or those of us who are going to be molested. I put myself on that list, God willing. You will feel better if it gets out, things get handled. I mean, you want to avoid it, but it will feel better.
It's even better when you're the one that stands up and says, hey, this is happening to me. It's mobilizing defense on your own behalf.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that, to be able to break free of that frozen situation where you're just chronically being victimized, to break out of that, what I call a freeze response, is very important. But Jasmine, the deal is that you've had a very significant trauma, and of course that's going to affect lots of areas of your life, and how you feel about men and your relationships, of course it has to affect that. Just like if you had nothing but positive experiences, that would affect how you deal with men too. So this is an opportunity to get some treatment. There are treatments that work for this. Go ahead and avail yourself of that.
And look, it's not a death sentence by any stretch of the imagination. It's really one of those things where it's like you suffer an injury early on in life. If you rehab that injury, you can actually be stronger and more healthy sometimes than somebody just doesn't do anything.
Right.
So, Jasmine, the fact that you're asking the question is a good thing.
That's
and it
fine.
Makes me confident about your future, or at least optimistic about it. But by the same token, you can't just hang up and do nothing.
You gotta do the work.
It's all right. Do a little therapy. A little classical music, some long walks. It's good for your brain.
Turning left on red light signals?
Yeah, once you get your permit, baby. I'm guessing Arizona doesn't have a bunch of them left turn signals.
Not really.
Yeah, don't worry, they're coming. I blame our former city that we were in, which was Culver City, which was, again, a Spanish word meaning a home of the arrow, which we used to do Westwood 2, or actually Westwood 3. Some people call Westwood 1, but I have trouble calling a place with a, looks like a stoner tried to build a 77 ski chalet and came up woefully short. I have trouble putting 1. Yeah, 1. Now, if you're talking about number 1, like urine, maybe.
Still Westwood 2.
Still Westwood 2. Oh. I'll tell you, our old studio we used to work in, as a former carpenter, I was insulted.
Well, it would drive you nuts every night.
It drive me nuts. It would drive me insane. The door jams came out further than the wall did. Bad, rough sawn, cedar, TNG, 1x6 everywhere. It was really, I would like to find the guy who built that place and cut his hands off. And I know the guy. It's Mr. Do-It-Yourselfer Hack. Ugh. I was insulted.
How about the guy
that
hired
place.
Him to do it?
No.
Somebody had to hire him to do that.
No.
What do you mean?
I don't think anyone was hired.
You mean that's like somebody who was working at Westwood
somebody,
One?
Somebody, yeah.
Built the space out.
Maybe Anderson can get to the bottom of it, but whoever built that place owned that place. Nobody was hired with those.
So
I was
like
going to say
Westwood,
those kind of skills, but there's a zero skill.
Westwood One was moving in, and this guy owned the space.
Ty Pennington from Extreme Home Makeover.
He's the guy.
Better carpenter than the hack that built that.
No.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, by Ty's admission, as he described himself on this show, didn't know how to do anything. He would just know how to get the guys to do the jobs for him.
Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
I gave him a little quiz when he's on the show. He didn't have, Drew, if I'm being unfair, please stop me. Didn't have many answers.
If you consider one, not many.
All right.
I guess that's all right.
Well, it's TV. No one really, the cast of L.A. Law, really attorneys?
Of course. No. Oh, no, wait a minute.
That's my point. Yeah, that's right. All right. Where are we, Drew? Let's not get sidetracked. Hey, let's break it down.
Dr.
Hey,
Bill,
let's get
really
a hand in now.
Huh?
Come on. Grab a Nina. Hey, gentlemen, use that term loosely. Hey, helmets. Not chairs, gentlemen. Let's go now. Let's break it down now. Let's grab a knee. Chris, grab a knee. Break it down now. Get in a circle now. Get a hand in now. Let's go.
Chris just gets into it.
Yeah, he goes nuts. All right, where are we going? Hooked up with an Army buddy's ex-girlfriend?
Take a break? No.
Got circumcised 3 weeks ago? All right, let's sell one, all right?
Nathan on six.
All right.
On six.
Nathan.
Hello.
You ever heard of Orange Bang or Orange Whip?
No.
Okay, fantastic. What's up, buddy?
First time caller.
Thanks, and, Nate. What's happening, my man?
Love the show. Like about 3 weeks ago, I got circumcised.
Mm.
And yeah, great. And
Go ahead. Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, about one week ago, I could masturbate again. And when I did, the cum was really late. Like,
all right, hold on.
All right.
Yeah, hold on. Now I know you feel the sensation and the electric shock, and then 10 minutes later, it's like a seagull crapped on your forehead. Crazy. Yeah. It's weird. You're up. You're walking around. You're heading into the kitchen and you get slimed. Ever happened to you, Drew?
No.
Never happened.
No,
it's crazy.
Slime.
Oh, it's embarrassing we're having a conversation. You know, sometimes you actually be out talking to somebody.
You put a towel on when you go to the door to talk to the maid during one of those fold down episodes.
All right. Hey, circumcised at 17. Either an infection or the world's laziest Jews. Procrastinators.
No.
Something happened.
Stenosis.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll get back with Nathan. I'm more curious about the part about
Nathan.
Getting the circumcision 17. At age 17. What was like? How much pain was involved? Why?
Can you imagine
it?
Your parents for not doing it the moment you were born? So you didn't feel it.
Who gets to keep the foreskin? Oh no, you feel it, and it gets buried deep inside, and you resent women.
Oh, I forgot that.
Or moils. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tomorrow night, one of the stars, one of the hottest shows on television, Randy Jackson from American Idol, is going to be in here. Over under on him using the word dog. Time-wise?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yeah, he'll be right away.
Well, 3 minutes is... That's a lifetime for Randy Jackson.
Oh, you think it'd be like 20 seconds?
I was thinking more like 8 or 9 seconds.
Really? Okay.
Because it could be in the greeting.
Well, it's
hey, dog!
Well, it's 3 minutes of you going, hey, welcome to Love Line. What
I have. Oh, yeah. I can fill a bus for like 20 minutes. We'll just go to the first break. When we get back, we say hi to Randy Jackson, who's been sitting here listening to me talk about parking enforcement for 25 minutes. Now we got to go to break. Now a word for Max. We got to pay some bills. Yeah, I like that. We got to pay some bills. All right.
Then we got Ron Livingston coming in here, and then we got Seth Green coming up next week.
Great guys. I'm always wondering, the great magnet's always an interesting one, and I know everything seems this way for everybody. It's no big deal. But I sat home last night and I watched The Italian Job and I watched Seth Green and I thought, yeah, he's good in that. And I thought, yeah, I haven't talked to Seth in, it's been a while. When's he on the show last? Been too long, I thought to myself. And then came in here and saw the new schedule and there's his name on it. All right, let's get to the phones here, Drew. And
you're talking to Nathan and
Nathan.
His clipping.
He was circumcised at 17.
Yeah.
Sounds like a ballad.
Beginning of a Johnny Cash. And why so late in life, Nathan?
Well, because it got to the point where I could not pull the foreskin down.
Stenosis. That is stenosis.
Stenosis.
And that's one of the more common complications of not having had a circumcision.
Yeah.
That's right.
It can bleed and crack and rip and be a lot of fun.
Strikes one in every 10 million.
No, it's not that uncommon.
Right. All of Europe.
Yeah.
All right. So you had it done. Now, did they put you under? Were you asleep?
Yeah, I was asleep for about 3 hours. The procedure only took like a half hour, though.
Okay. Lightweight, we call that where I'm from. I would have been driving home, working on my house, a couple of Heinekens under my belt by then. But that's your thing. So, okay, then you wake up. So the procedure takes half an hour. They give you the thing. You wake up. What's it look like down there? Stitches?
Well, it was wrapped in, like, a bunch of gauze.
Huge, surprisingly big dressing.
Really?
Yeah, novelty. Yeah,
probably leave
novelty.
That on for a few years.
Yeah, it's like something out of a Buddy Hackett movie from the 60s. Novelty.
Yeah, it's like, hey, can we get that in beige? Make it a little purple at the end.
Like
leave it. Yeah, it looks like a club. And how do you whiz through that dressing?
They leave the very top of the head open so you can still go to the bathroom. But there were stitches, and it was nasty.
All right. So how's the first whiz feel?
The first whiz burned a little bit.
Burned
a
little?
That's more because you had a catheter in probably for the procedure.
Oh, really?
I don't know, really, but...
Really? Catheter?
Maybe. Yeah. Got to keep it clean.
I don't think...
You mean they can't let anything get back in there?
I would think they'd probably catheterize, but I don't know.
Yeah, I bet they wouldn't. All right, so, Nathan, did you have a catheter in or not?
I don't think I did.
You wouldn't know.
No,
you would know.
No, they'd do that while you're asleep.
Yeah,
but they would give you a little heads up, and we'd probably be pretty sore.
Yeah, I didn't.
All right.
So, anyway, I had that... I had a cavity fill the guy insisted on. I thought it was a little out of line, but it felt good.
Adam, my surgery was a day after yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good times.
So I could relate to the gown thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, ass hanging out of the gown. At least your junk was getting worked on.
Yeah.
How is it they didn't catheterize us for our hernia operation? We were completely under general. Things relax. And
what?
How do they keep stuff from...
I'll tell you what they do is, first off, I don't know what there is to come out because they give you that nothing after midnight.
But then they open an IV up right away as soon as you get in there.
It's dripping. Yeah. I mean, it's just barely enough to keep your eyes from not drying up. There's nothing coming out. And you take that nervous whiz, mostly so you can blast a nice fart off.
By the way, I was there to witness that. You remember that?
My whiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, you walked in, I think, as I was whizzing.
Trying to, yeah. And you were telling off a nurse about something.
Well, they say you couldn't... Now, did you walk in on my second can't go home until you whiz?
No, I got that one, but I got the first whiz before the procedure when you were talking about how uncomfortable it was that you'd said to my friend, the neighbor, that the neighborhood had gone south because he was moved in. Then you were pissed with your ass hanging out in the... Peeing, I beg your pardon, Anderson. With your butt hanging
Drew, the anesthesiologist was from where, Drew?
Yeah,
where's the guy from? He's Jamaican
or
something.
Yeah, it's like
he has a crazy nationality, this guy. And he said, you know, Dr. Drew lived in my neighborhood, but then he moved out. He started it. He said, Dr. Drew thought he was too good for our neighborhood, so he moved into a big house somewhere else. And I said, well, actually, it's because of your ethnicity. He told me, when those breeds start moving in, it's time to move out, bring down the property value. The guy started looking at me like, all right, now you're going to die, and I'm going to make it look like an accident.
And then so we come back. He grabs me in the hall. I happen to be on the hall 2 minutes later. Guy grabs me, pulls me over to Adam, and Adam basically denied what he'd said, but said, well, what I actually said was Drew didn't like the way the neighborhood was going. Didn't like the direction he's headed.
Oh, please. I was clearly busting the guy's chops.
And you were urinating at the time with your tush hanging out, which I find upsetting. Just traumatic.
Here's the thing. Why the gowns? Why the gowns that tie in the back when you... By the way, in your life, how many bows do you think you tie in between your shoulder blades and behind you? You got some blouse that you wear? Is there a summer dress? As a male, especially, is there a bra you're putting on? Is there? Look, most males can't touch their hands behind their shoulder blades, yeah. Much less tie a bow. And the mirror doesn't help. That makes it worse, yes, by the way. Yes. And so what ends up happening is they don't put it on or anything. What they do is they just go, here you go, put this on. Yeah, what they really need is like in days of yore, they would have like hermaphrodites floating around. People with like no genitalia who just they should just go around.
Eunuchs,
yes. They should have eunuchs going around and tying your thing for you, yeah. So that you know they're getting no sexual charge out of it, but there's no female that you're going to embarrass by. It's in there 20 minutes. I pulled the whole goddamn gown around me and started tying. I almost strangled myself. It's like, what happened to him? He hung himself. No, no, no. He was trying to get his goddamn gown tied, and he died in the he died waiting to urinate and make ethnic jokes about the anesthesiologist. It's very sad, but that's the way he would have wanted to go. All right, let's take a break. I'm fired up now.
All right,
I got two words. It's called Velcro. You understand it? How about a little Velcro strap? How about a little something? It's rope, too. It's rope. You can't tie it. It comes untied immediately. Okay. All right. We're taking a break. Now I'm fired up. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we were talking last night, Drew, I should say last, Drew got me going. Actually, one of the callers got me going recently, had a little surgery on the hospital gown. And those of you who have not donned the hospital gown, first off, gown, not great name for the fellas. Robe, much stronger. Mm-hmm. Gown, nice for the ladies, evening gown.
Mm-hmm. But then gown doesn't come close to describing what this thing is.
No.
No. So robe would be good. Hospital robe.
Let's call it a robe. And secondly, it's that one size fits nobody size thing. There's nothing worse than being a good size male for one of these hospital gowns, by the way. They tie in the rear. There's 4 inches worth of doubled over cloth. That's the kind of thing that if you did manage to tie it into a bow, 2.5 steps, the thing blows open, the sack comes flying out, basically. And your sack doesn't just come out like it normally does. It's spring-loaded at this point. When you think about the hospital, and you think about, like I said, when I had hand surgery, I had a 10-minute argument with them about why they needed my underpants. Let's just look at it this way. We're performing surgery on your left hand. We're going to have you laid out on a 6-foot sandwich board and strapped down so you don't move like Jesus on the cross. We're going to need your underpants. We're giving you this flimsy piece of material with a couple of small pieces of yarn that you're not going to be able to tie in the back and suck on this until you go to sleep. It's like, okay, are you guys here to put me in weird positions and film me? Like, do you want to see my sack? I'll just show it. Do you want to see anus?
Well, it's
I'll show you ass
it's
now.
It's sack and anus rounds.
It really is. It's like,
sweet.
It really seems like a ploy to see your scrotum. It really does. Like, give me the underpants, take these drugs, put this gown with no back on it on, and go to sleep.
Am I on your side?
You're just working on my hand. Give me the underpants!
They might explode. They're going to catch fire.
Oh, Christ. Here's all
but
I
why
said.
Not just, wait, let's think about it for a second. Why have they not just relinquished the open to the back thing? Because you're not going for the back action. You're usually working on the front.
And by the way,
why not just have a robe? A robe that goes around for like a bathrobe.
Let me explain something, too.
That's a good
point. People are used to the concept of donning the robe in foreign places, such as if you go to a hotel and you go down to the club, the workout club, and you want to take a sauna, you get a robe. You know what I mean? You're used to sort of putting the robe on. There's many places outside of your home where you're used to the robe. It wraps around, tie the thing in front. The assless robe. And by the way, hospitals, why don't you just start handing out chaps? At this point, essentially, just turn yourselves into a gay bar. Put some sawdust down on the floor and start handing out chaps. That's really what you are. You're turning into a gay bar with tongue depressors.
All kidding aside is that if you needed to get all clothing off somebody and they're on their back getting work done, you can slip it off the front. It comes off the arms forward as opposed to rolling somebody over and off and get the arms cut off.
Here's all I want out of life. This is all I want out of life, Drew. You understand?
At least I got to hear.
I don't want things to change. All I want is the voucher. I want the piece of paperwork that says, "Look, Mr. Corolla, we're doing surgery on your left palm. You want to keep your underpants. We would love to stare at your ass and sack as." And by the way, nothing greater than the half drugged up coming out of the coma transfer from the gurney into the onto the bed with the sack flying at 10 ways to Sunday. It was like a sack tidal wave. You understand? Three nurses were killed by my, buried by my sack. And yeah. There's no possible way that, for first off, you have been drugged up to the point where you really don't know, you're a twilight
let's
zone.
Let's probably set the scene here. Your sack has been affected by gravity more than most.
Yeah.
Gravity's had taken its toll.
I got Father Time, along with the gravity, has taken their toll on my sack.
Yeah.
And the point is when you're coming out of surgery, it's like a movie where people are leaning over you, talking in slow motion. Yeah. It's like a bad dream. Now it's time to transfer you from one gurney to the next, sort of clumsily.
Well, see, what they do with you, they throw the sack first, and you follow. It was great.
Separate gurney for the sack. Trailer ball on the gurney. Sack on the third wheel behind me. A fifth wheel, I think. All right, the point is, here's my point. Let's give people ropes like dignity and give them some dignity. But here's all I'm saying. Give me the voucher. Let me sign the thing. Give me the piece of paper that I will gladly sign for everything that says, here's the deal. I'm going to keep my midway briefs on, my cotton briefs, while you guys work on my palm, which is 9 feet away from my groin. I'm going to go ahead and keep my underpants on. And if my groin bursts into flames halfway into it, here, where do I sign? Right here? There you go.
You're
initial here? There you go. You're off the hook. I'm going to take my 1 in a billion chance my nuts catch on fire during the course of this procedure. Okay, there you go.
You should ask my friend, what about all that?
I do. I do every time.
Oh,
I do every time.
The anesthesiologist this time?
I ask everybody at the hospital. I bug the hell out of them.
Oh, man. They looked very happy, by the way, when I came marching up. Mind you, they grabbed me and took you over to your room. You realize?
Listen, I had to do about 20 minutes of nothing but saltines. What's going on here?
They did mention the saltine thing. That's the first thing the nurse said.
Yeah. That's all they got to eat there. Saltines.
He likes the saltines.
Yeah, he likes the saltines. I once heard a nutritionist say, "There's no worse food than saltines. It's a salt, processed flour, lard, and sugar." It's taking the four worst things you
calories.
Can put in your body and shoving them into one. How about someone spring for some Triscuits or some Wheat Thins, for Christ's sake? Give me a little peanut butter. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, here's some fruit punch and some saltines. Really? What grade we in? Or what am I, 170? Okay, here's the point. I'll pack my own basket like I'm going to the Hollywood Bowl next time with some underpants. All I'm saying in life, everybody, is where's the thing we get to sign? I was over at the Galpin Ford this weekend, looking at the Aston Martins, one of the most beautiful cars ever produced. Mm-hmm. $170,000 automobile. This car, handmade in England, made like fine coachwork, made like a fine Italian shoe. The interior is impeccable. You look up on the top, big yellow iron-on sticker that says "Warning: Airbag deploys." Put the kids in the back seat. This is a car that has no back seat, by the way. Essentially, beautiful Conley leather, beautiful leather suede headliner, beautifully. I mean, this car is the creme de la creme. It is a work of art. It's $170,000, handmade in England. And then comes the big yellow. Big 3x3 sticker that's sewn onto the beautiful hand-stitched suede visor, which probably cost you $3,500, warning you that there is, in fact, an airbag in the automobile. And it's ironed on, so you need a razor to get it off. Really? You're gonna take a big yellow warning sticker and iron it onto my beautiful $170,000 work of art? That's it? And by the way, I don't want it there. I don't want the goddamn sticker there. So who do I talk to about it, and who do I sue, by the way? I didn't buy the car, but hypothetically, I got a $170,000 automobile. I don't want your goddamn yellow sticker on it. So who do I sue? Where's the paperwork? I don't want your sticker on my car. It's a beautiful work of art. Stop it. I don't have a kid. I'm not a kid.
No back seat.
I don't want the sticker. Put the sticker on the other side of the visor. I don't want to stare at it. By the way, you never see it anyway. And no one ever sees it. Thanks, lawyers. Thanks for effing everything up. You retards. Oh, Jesus Christ. If we could get these lawyers and these publicists to just ball themselves up and throw themselves into an ocean, it would be great. It would ruin the ocean, I've realized. Ocean couldn't stand that. We wouldn't be able to fish the ocean anymore. But it'd be worth it. Just to get you buzzards out of our lives. Stickers all over everything. Warnings sewn onto everything. Everything's etched into everything. You got a beautiful handmade work of art automobile. Got a big yellow. And here's the thing, too. You know, headliner's brown. It's not brown. It's canary yellow.
Every other country in the world has millions of deaths because they don't have the stickers. And they have millions of inadvertent incidences from people having glassware out on the street or walking with alcohol out on the street. It creates chaos. No other countries function because of that.
Oh, I swear to God. I swear to Christ. What lawyers are doing to this country and what we're all doing. And everyone just sleepwalking through everything. Everyone, you guys, all of you, just sit at that red arrow at the green light and stare at your warning sticker. Do me a favor. Stare up at it. Next time you sit there like a retard at that red arrow just waiting to get T-boned by drunk, just stare at your yellow, ugly warning sticker that was sewn onto your sun visor. Just stare at it. All you who don't have kids, all of you who don't have back seats in your car, all of you who basically have enough sense to put the stupid kid in the back seat because you've heard 300 stories on it. All of you, just stare at that big, ugly, vinyl, iron-on sticker on your sun visor while you're waiting at the red arrow with a green light and no traffic coming. Just enjoy. Enjoy your America. Danielle?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Hi. I was just wondering... since Dr. Drew is an addiction specialist, what's the cure for an addiction?
Well, that's an interesting question. Is a full-blown addiction that's out of control?
It's like a mild addiction because I keep on becoming addicted to something and then I find something to replace it. Like,
yeah, so you're just crossing over from one addiction to the next.
Yeah, like if, cigarettes, gambling, sex.
Yeah.
What kind of gambling you do?
Party poker.
what
does that mean?
Party poker?
Hmm?
What is party poker?
Oh, it's like Hold'em.
Oh. Texas Hold'em.
Yeah. Do you go down to City of Commerce or something and play that?
No. Well, I have been to Vegas like twice this summer.
All right. The deal is, though, Danielle, you primarily sounds like sex is a big part of all this. And when sexual addiction occurs, you have to think about trauma. Mm-hmm. And if you're a trauma survivor and you're getting addictively, you're heading in the addictive direction, yes, you can get involved
in it. I've been abstinent for like 6 months, so okay. I'm over that, but I think I'm...
Well, you're not over that. You're what they call this bipolar phase, where you go from very, very active to very, very shut down.
You know what, Dr. Drew, I'm actually bipolar.
Ooh. All right, so you're also bipolar.
Yeah.
Well, wait, how much money do you lose when you gamble?
I've actually won like 300.
You've won 300?
Blown 300.
Blown 300. It's a lot of guys.
What?
Now, let's talk gambling.
Dollars.
Yeah.
How many dollars have you lost?
All right. Oh, I just got that.
Thanks, baby doll.
Okay.
All right. That's
veal
all
right. Or venison?
No. This is a smart gal.
Oh, okay.
So you've blown $300, and what do you do for a living? Something with restaurants?
I'm a student.
Student where at?
I'm not going to say.
Uh-oh.
Because my friends listen. It's not community college. I go to school on the East Coast.
Okay.
What are you doing out here?
Oh, I'm from here. I'm here for the summer.
Okay. Here's the thing.
East Coast.
All right, so you're going to drive Drew nuts with the college. He loves colleges.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I actually saw you, Dr. Drew, on like a video for my abnormal psychology class.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
wow.
It was like Fires of the Mind. It was like bipolar. It was about bipolar.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We're
getting out there. Okay, so listen. Can you stop this stuff? And if you can't, then that's addiction, right?
It's hard to know. You're bipolar, so some of this may be mania, too.
Yeah.
So I think the important thing is to make sure your bipolar illness is treated by a psychiatrist who also has some experience with addiction. Mm-hmm. And addiction, in addition to your biology being handled, that you get a therapist. And then you begin to talk about some of the trauma issues that it sounds like you may well have had.
Okay.
And if you were motivated, a 12-step program would do you an awful lot of good. And it's free.
Really?
All right? Yeah, 12-step. Just go to Gamblers Anonymous or Sex Addicts Anonymous, SA.
Yeah.
Or if you get going with a chemical, that particular chemicals group. Yeah. But you're in the early phases of all this, and the fact that you're thinking about it, wanting to, you know, picking up on it is very positive. The fact that you're bipolar increases the risk that it's going to go out of control. So you really need to be, just like you've had any other chronic condition, mm-hmm. you know, if you had some orthopedic problem, you'd see an orthopedist, you see a physical therapist, and you might even see somebody that's specific to whatever sports you like to do. I mean, you got to deal with your mental health the same way.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Gambling, as we've learned from the government, is just plain wrong unless it's pari-mutuel betting horses, or it's Texas Hold'em, or Pai-Gow, or Pan poker.
Or lottery.
Or lottery, which of course makes perfect sense because once you put your grandkids' birth dates in, we all know that ship's coming in. I mean, you go down to the liquor store and drop your hammer, your welfare check, and do it that way. Gambling, just plain wrong. I mean, if it's blackjack or betting on football.
Or a slot machine.
Or a slot machine. Right.
Or poker, video poker, but not...
In
not
California,
card poker.
Once you cross the imaginary line that someone drew in Mojave Desert 200 years ago, it's okay to actually feed money into the machine. It all makes perfect sense. Don't get me wrong. It's wrong unless you're 230 miles north. Let's see, going east, or a little southeast of here.
Or if your foot gets off of dry land and onto a barge.
Right. If you're on a cruise ship.
Not even a cruise ship, but just on a barge.
Just on the water.
The barge can be tied to the land.
You can be on a boogie board.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
fine. If your feet are in water, yeah.
Or if you're on
some land that's owned by indigenous people.
Indians. That's good again.
Yeah, it's fine. So it's wrong.
It's extra good.
Yeah, and then if you're, like, in Florida, you can bet on dogs. but you can't do that out here in California.
It's wrong.
And then, of course, it's wrong to bet on chickens. Although on horses it's fine, and dogs it's not good. So the point is football, no.
Worst, that's about
bad. No, football's bad. 21 bad. Texas Hold'em good.
Roulette horrible.
Dogs good in Florida, bad in California. Horses good.
In California.
Horses good.
In New York.
In Kentucky. lottery, good, great.
Everywhere.
That's great everywhere. In casinos, good, and cockfighting, bad.
But the casino game.
And high lie, bad, but good in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good in Florida.
All right.
Good.
So, look, listen, it all makes sense. It's a very consistent stance.
It's a philosophy.
That's right.
Philosophically consistent position.
Very consistent. Yeah. I love when the government does this and everyone goes, screw you. Like, they want to know why people keep doing something. You guys have no stance on it. You have a ridiculous stance. It's like you're the government, and if you're a parent, and you have five kids, and you're like, okay, your curfew is 10 p.m., yours 10 p.m., yours is 4 a.m., yours is 9, and it's like, hey, the one who's 4 a.m. is 8 years old, and the one who's 10 p.m. is 14. How are you going to tell the 14-year-old not to come home after midnight?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're so all over the goddamn map with all this stuff, it's no wonder no one listens to them. You guys don't have a stance.
The common thread in all of this is that it's the laws.
Oh, yeah.
The laws are always very consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're good, because without the laws, we'd be on a slippery slope.
Very slippery.
Slippery slope.
Very slippery, yeah. If I didn't have to travel down to Gardena to play some Pai-Gow poker, if I could just do it out in Studio City, it would be a totally different.
Very slippery slope.
It's very. This is...
Derek?
That's why we got to have Kevorkian locked up, because we say it's okay for him to do his mercy killing, and the next thing you know... Drew's taking healthy patients in this room and stabbing them with needles, injecting air into their heart and killing them. And you know what? There's nothing we can do.
Nothing we can do because it's a slippery slope.
There's nothing to stop them. No. By the way, as if they'd be motivated. Family practitioner killing all his patients. Hey, what's to stop? I always like that argument, too, that retard argument. What's to stop? What's to stop? I guess he wouldn't have went to medical school if he's planning on just mercy killings. 14-year-olds, perfectly healthy. Nothing stopped, and nothing we could do.
Nothing.
Really? I'm guessing a decent attorney might be able to get this guy to do sometime. Maybe a fine. Derek?
Hello?
17? What's happening, baby doll?
Yeah, I wanted to know how long sperm lasts outside of, like, a body. Like, I've thought of a...
Basically until it dries up.
I got some in some Tupperware from the ninth grade. And that's outside. Hmm. Yeah.
But I
flash freeze in my grandmother's freezer.
Is it with just by itself? It's fast frozen?
It's mixed in with some gazpacho my grandfather whipped up in 78.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't tell her.
Hello?
It'd break her heart. Yeah, Derek.
Because I was with my girlfriend, and I think I got some on my hand, and then, like a minute or two or three later, I went to her with my hand, and I don't know.
Right. How'd it get onto your hand?
Because we were messing around, and I kind of just...
Yeah. Was it your hand working your junk, or was it her hand?
A little both. Yeah.
All right.
I was just curious. I heard you say that, like, if there's anal and it kind of drips down, it can go in and...
Yeah, of course, if it's something's on your hand, you can transport it into the vagina. That's a possibility, but it's highly unlikely. And, you know, if you're worried about this, there is the morning after pill. And you know what? I just love the morning after pill stuff now, because finally a consensus is emerging in the medical community where people are saying, you know what? We've been looking at this thing for years, and it's fairly clear now this thing works almost exclusively by preventing ovulation.
It's an abortion pill, I tell you, Drew.
No, it isn't.
Pure and simple, an abortion pill.
Prevents ovulation just like any other birth control you take before sex. This one you just happen to take after sex.
Well, I've always tried to explain to you, because Drew has always been confounded by this. Why? It's not an abortion pill. This could prevent many potential millions of abortions.
Maybe all the abortions used properly. I mean, nearly really get rid of abortion in this country.
Why?
This is how you do it.
Why wouldn't the good folks that are against abortion, doing all the protesting and shooting the doctors and blowing up the clinics, why wouldn't the Right to Lifers embrace this new piece of technology?
Get behind it like crazy.
Well, that would be embrace. Why wouldn't they be on board with it instead coming out and putting pressure on pussies like, Walmart or Kmart or something with the Mart on the end of it, and getting them not to carry it, and making a prescription, and...
Not letting it be over the counter, even though there's, 100 million prescriptions worldwide, not a single adverse event. You can't say that of Tylenol, aspirin,
right?
Anything else.
So, Drew perplexed as to why these people would not get behind this. Answer?
Not perplexed. I think you need a stronger word.
Angered and dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded.
And outraged.
Outraged.
Although I did provide your answer many times, did I not?
Yes.
They like to complain. They're not so interested in the abortions going away. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Out of the movement, 10% of them would like the abortions to go away. The other 90 want to get out and write letters and run people's lives.
Well, you said they don't want young people having sex.
They don't want people, no freebies.
Yeah.
They weren't getting laid in high school. Why should you?
Mm.
It's really what it's about. And as far as their religion goes, Drew and I have talked about this many times. I don't believe they're as into it as they say they are. They wouldn't become as violent when you told them they were idiots. So they're not interested in stopping abortions. They're interested in controlling people, and they're interested in people not having free sex. The idea that somebody can have sex at 15 or 16 or 17 and not have to pay the price of an abortion or taking the child full term is not something that is palatable to them, and therefore it's not the abortions they hate. It's the stuff that got you there. And they don't never talk about that because they're hypocrites, and they work on this. They work on one subject, but it's really the other that they're talking about. And they're just a handful of fanatic letter writers who everyone needs to tell to shut up. And by the way, please,
of all letter
please,
writers,
please
true.
Anyone who writes a letter. And by the way, when are we going to look at religious fanaticism as a form of a mental disorder? Please, please, can we stop respecting these people? Born-again Christians, Shiite Muslims, whoever it is. Let's please start disrespecting them. Can we please, for the majority of sane people, can we start telling the Hasidim and the born-agains and the Shiites to shut the F up and go back to the effing cave they came from and get their ass out of our face? And look, whatever retarded policy you guys want to do on the kibbutz or in the cave or up on the mountain when you're waiting for the second coming, just like everyone who was born before you, by the way, who follows your religion, was waiting for the second coming. Oh, the rapture. It's coming. Go up to the mountain. Get the cooler. Fill it full of Sunny D, tards, and wait for the rapture, just like your dad and your dad's dad and your dad's dad's dad and the dad. All of them that were in it. All sure he was coming on their watch. Oh, he's coming. Yeah, get up. Get up there and get a good seat. And we'll see you at work on Monday. All right, Ham and Job? Good times. Yeah. Go back to your crappy caves and shut your effing pie holes.
You're not saying they can't practice their faith. They
do
can.
Do it from the safety of your own cave and let the sane people make the policies. Because I don't need anyone waiting for the rapture or waiting for the 72 virgins or waiting for any of this promised stuff that only retard would buy, by the way. I don't need any of those guys setting any policies. Bush a little scary in that department, too. Not, I think he believes it. That's the problem. Mm. Clinton, he didn't believe it. Clinton's full of crap. I mean, you know, Clinton's just a sociopath, wanted to get a BJ, and once in a while had to evoke the name of the Lord so
to get
he
by,
could
to get
not get people PO'd.
Right, to get a buy.
Right, want to keep the votes going.
Which a lot of that. That's the stuff that makes me mad. Why don't we call people out on that?
Bush, he believes it. A little scarier. Actually, I don't know which one is scarier. All right. We'll think about that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew just threatened me with a scalpel, everybody. So just go get a scalpel. Come in here and I'll do it. You heard him, Chris, right? Is that what he said?
Give me 3 seconds. I'll get it done.
That's right.
I got a cyst on his neck.
Something on the back of my neck. I don't know. It's like ingrown hair. It says, yeah, I know
what it was. A cyst now.
Well, how does something turn into a cyst?
It's either a gland that gets walled off and just starts expanding.
Oh, you got glands in the back of your neck?
Sure.
Where don't you have glands?
Mm.
I'm moving there.
Hmm.
I'm moving to Glanville. Anti-Glanville. All right, so it starts as like, you know, here's why I'm suspicious with the ingrown hair. It's right at the point where
give me a needle. Let's do it now.
Listen, Chris.
Chris, give me a needle. Oh, he's upset. What do you mean?
Chris can't find his belly button. You think he's going to find a needle? And find a needle.
We're going to do this.
And believe me.
And some paper towels.
Okay. Please go at it. It's driving me insane.
I'll take care of it.
Here's the thing. It's right at the line where when the barber buzzes your neck and gives you the buzz, you know, cleans up the neck, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, do you even get that, by the way? Or are you so hairless that they're going to clean up your neck?
They actually use a blade on that.
Straight edge?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they clean up your neck. They'll buzz it around the back. And when the hair comes back sometimes, it'll get a little stubbly, like where I got a little bump on my belly where I had my hernia surgery, and they shaved my belly off. You know, it comes back like a bikini line or something. Anyway, point is I got some kind of zinger back there. I'm going on week 3. It's driving me insane. I can't see it. I can't get to it. Now, normally I'm a surgeon. I drop that pin. I land something. I drop it right in. I drain that thing right out. But my stuff is tough. I mean, my stuff don't come easy. You got to work it. You got to work it hard, and you can't just press on it. You got to cut it. So if we get a pin, Drew, you drop it in the back of my neck, we'll get this thing out. But you know what? I wouldn't be as confident as you are right now. You're very confident, Drew. Remember when you tried to drain my palm?
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
That was painful for me and painful, humiliating for you.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Now, did it?
Well, I kind of know what I'm getting into here.
Okay. Feel like you do. Producer Ann is looking at the pin.
I don't know.
Here's my guess. I saw her get up and move.
Oh, okay.
Now she's entering the studio.
She's actually delighted by this.
Now I know what...
Tack.
All right, let me see. No, that's good. No, I was about to predict we're going to get something that's not quite what we need, but close enough, which is... That's the disaster. That's like jumping out of a plane with... it's not quite a parachute, but...
Towels.
Yeah, I'm getting some paper towels. And all right, there you go. Here's a tack. And we need some light, too. Turn the light up, Drew. And please, get something out of there. It's been bothering me now for 3 weeks. I'm going to take some calls. Wow. Ann's got some paper towels. Got a little wet nap. A little alcohol on there. Now, the white thing you see on there, Drew, is just dried skin. That's what I'm saying. Drew's now putting it into the hole in the back of my neck. All right. That's going on there, Drew. You don't got a mic, but tell me.
Nothing's happened yet.
Yeah. All right, Drew is now...
Give me the paper towels.
You want the paper towels? All right, Drew is working on the carbuncle on the back of my neck. They see... Hold on a second, Drew. Now, hold on. Now, see, what was on there was a little piece of dried skin that you thought was like a white cap, right?
I think I'm in.
You think you're in?
Let me see.
All right. All right. If it hits my brain, you tell me.
Yeah, I got it.
Anything coming?
Oh, yeah.
Not white.
Yeah.
White?
Toothpaste.
Get it, baby. Go, you bastard. Swear to Christ, I'm going to get a divorce. We're getting married, Drew. I told my wife, I said, would you go at this thing? Okay. I said, you know what? I yelled at her. I said, what kind of chick doesn't want to go at a man's zit on his back? You know? And no? Hold on. Drew, what are you doing with the pin? I thought it came.
I'm opening up a little further because it only came partially.
Let me see what you got. You got? Ow! Ow!
Hold on. Relax.
What do you got? Relax. You're drilling into my spine. What do you got? Let me see the white. I don't trust you.
It's just a little bit.
Yeah. Chris, you see anything? No. Did you see anything before? Ow. No. Ow. Do you have to hit me or can you just wipe it off? Hold on a second.
You're moving, for God's sake.
I'm moving. You got to stop. Now, what did you get?
A little bit of white.
A little bit of white. Or is it
a toothpaste?
A little toothpaste or was it just dried skin?
No, it was toothpaste.
You sure you got something?
Blood's coming out of it now.
Well, I know blood's coming out. Anytime you bore into a man's neck, blood will finish. Like if he took like a sprinkler key and stabbed me in the neck, it would have
been. You and I have been having sex.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Get it going there.
All right,
I'm going to take some calls. Drew is taking a pin, by the way, a thumbtack that producer Ann produced.
That's pretty serious.
And that's producing, by the way. You get a thumbtack in there. I got an ingrown hair or something in the back of my neck. Drew is going at it. He swears it's going to pop. Ow! I'm telling him it's not.
Take some calls. Get your mind
out. Yeah, I might just fall asleep if I don't go to the phone. Drew's drilling a hole in my spine.
Maybe you need some Vicodin.
Nell, ow! You're 20?
I am 20.
All right. What's up, baby doll?
This thing needs to be completely...
Oh, a while ago, I think it was over a month ago, a girl asked how she could give her boyfriend better head.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Dr. Drew told her to take, whenever she brushes her teeth, to brush further back on her tongue.
Oh, really? Yeah, that does... That. Drew just endorsed that, but...
I did not say that.
Maybe Drew didn't say it. I probably said that helps you with the gag reflex a little bit, if you can get the... That thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of head, Drew's giving me neck right now. Yeah?
It actually helped me a lot. I can take more of my boyfriend in now.
Really?
Yeah, fantastic. So I thank you very much for that.
Well,
but I was actually wondering if it's bad for your gag reflex at all.
Well, I'm trying to think, and Drew, I know you're absorbed in my neck buncle right now, but what about the gag reflex? Obviously, it's something that God gave you.
Well, I mean, after I started doing it, because it started, I can't think of it, but it worked within a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I could take more of them in then, but I got mm-hmm. really wasted after that, and then I had to throw up, and I couldn't throw up as easily as I normally would have.
Uh-huh. Ah! So you started brushing your tongue. You started brushing back of your tongue and getting down in there. It softened up your gag reflex. But then after a hard night of partying, when you got the spins, you couldn't just put your pinky down your throat and heave because you'd worked on your gag reflex.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you, it's something... let me tell you something. As Drew says, no free lunch in nature. Yes, Drew?
That's correct.
That's correct.
This thing needs to be excited solid.
All right. All right. Good times there now. What did I say to you, Drew?
There was a little core in it.
No.
Yeah, there was.
I told it. Listen, 10 minutes ago you said if you gave me a pin, it would come out. What did I say?
Impossible. But I think.
What is that on my neck and how come I've been living with it for 3 weeks? What's going on? If it's a zit, here's what I want to scream at my neck. Show yourself. If you're a zit, come on, bring it.
It's like a solid cyst. It's like a bunch of glandular material in there.
What do you do with it?
It may, what I just did may make it go away.
Or I may die in my sleep.
You might. That's the other possibility.
Actually more probable that I die in my sleep.
No, it may, because I disrupted the architecture there.
Yeah, you could have just hit me with a slipper. Disrupted the architecture.
And,
you stabbed me.
But it may also reform and need to be actually cut out with a knife. Like I said, knife. Yeah. It's not one of the things you can... I explored all around there with that needle.
Oh, see, I'll tell you. You give me some Oxy-10 in a sewing needle.
No.
I can do a heart transplant with some Oxy-10 and a sewing needle. Do you understand? I can separate conjoined twins.
You could probably get...
Bring me some twins from Guatemala that are joined at the skull.
Saw Dateline tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Give me a pin and some Oxy-10. I will fix those girls. They will lead normal lives. Do you understand?
By the way, that story about the twins...
Yeah.
What's the outcome they're alluding to with those two?
I watched Dateline tonight along with Drew, and I fast-forwarded through the twins because here's the whole thing with me. Conjoined twins, you know, stuck together at the hip. I can stomach. Stuck together at the head is tough. I can't watch it. And it's like stuck together at the hip, tough to watch, but can make my way through it. Stuck together at the head. Not going to make it.
These kids are severely neurologically impaired. I mean, they're going to look forward to a life of maybe ambulating, maybe talking.
Well, in the country they're from, they'll probably be president and chancellor.
But the point is...
They don't need... What are they doing?
The implication was in the story...
Where are they from?
They're on their way to recovery. They're going to be like... They'll be riding their bike.
Where are they from?
Guatemala.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They hang out and have babies. Chase chickens around. That's all they do in those countries, Drew. They're not doing anything. That's fine.
Good times.
You need a brain. Just hang out. They have it better than we do. Take naps. They relax. And by the way, on anyone's terror list...
Hammocks?
They're going to go blow up a few cinder-blocked houses with thatch roofs and a hammock or two.
By the way, to switch topics, that terror thing, I just keep hearing city corp building. That's the one they're going for. I just know it.
Well, why are they talking about it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they're not going to do it now that we're aware of it, aren't they?
I don't think.
You're talking about the City Corp building in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's been to the City Corp building in Manhattan realizes when you stand out on the sidewalk that what it looks like is a chair with three legs.
Right.
And it basically looks like if you can pop that third leg... that chair's coming.
Right. And that's what I keep hearing. That's
and saying, oh, that is God, one that. Hell of a chair. Yeah. And that chair may catch a couple other chairs on the way down.
And Fifth Avenue while it's there.
And it looks like, I mean, it's really a marvel of engineering when you stand under and you look up 12 stories and you're looking at the bottom of the first floor, essentially. And like I said, just one stilt holding up the whole, you know, south side of the building or whatever it is.
Right? I mean, isn't that the, if you're okay to, is that the one you'd go for?
It seems like Ryder truck with just a little manure in it, double parked at the right spot, would take out that thing and bring it down. On the other hand, as they've learned with the trade centers and their car bombs, these buildings were engineered more so for those sorts of events and less so for stuff like, you know, jet fuel burning, melting I-beams and causing a pancake effect of the floors. You know, they are meant for serious winds. They're made for, you know, hurricane-type forces, made for earthquakes and, you know, natural anomalies and things like that. So structurally, it's like bones, you know, it's like your bones not breaking, but acid. You're not made for acid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the jet fuel was the acid.
Right.
Nobody made anything for it. They were meant to withstand the force of an airplane, right, but not the hundreds and thousands of gallons of burning fuel,
right,
which ended up taking them down. So the bomb, and you realize the first World Trade Center bomb was a fairly significant bomb. I mean, it took out a couple levels of the parking.
Like,
I mean,
12 levels or something crazy.
It's as much bomb as you could squeeze into a panel truck, mm-hmm, basically, barely move the, you know, barely rock the building. Didn't do any damage to any of the floors. So I'm not so sure, even though it looks very tempting, I'm not positive if that building would even come down necessarily if that...
But you know they'll be thinking about melting steel and stuff this time.
One would assume. All right. Here's the point.
That upbeat note.
We can't judge.
Everyone's good.
All cultures are the same.
They're all good.
And we should embrace every culture and every religion. And they're all the same. And everything's... And there's no judging. Zero judging, because can't everyone's
judge.
Right.
Can't judge.
If everyone's not right, then everyone's wrong. World War II, everyone right. World War I, everyone right. Civil War, North-South, both right. Can't judge. All the same. All right? Always remember that, everyone. always remember, you cannot judge, and therefore you should never do anything. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, man. That's Jack DeGee over there. Randy Jackson from American Idol in here tomorrow night. Saw Paula Abdul on the airplane going to New York a week ago. Handed me her cell phone.
Huh.
She was I was sitting down in first class where I like to reside.
I want to hear her version of the story of, if you're helping yourself to the champagne and the stewardess yelling you down.
That was on the way back.
Oh, damn.
On the way out, I was a perfect gentleman. Plopped down in the seat. Paula Abdul plopped down in the aisle across from me and walked over to me and just handed me her cell phone. Sit there, start talking to this person. And it turned out it was a guy I knew named Mike.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the part I can't figure out. How does Mike know that Paula Abdul must have done that thing? She must have come on the plane and while she was talking on the phone said, "Hey, you know that Brillo head guy? Yeah, the guy looks like Greg Brady. I can't think of his name. Yeah, he's on the phone. The guy probably just said put him on." All right, let's talk to Jessica, who's 21. Jessica.
Hello.
What's happening, baby doll?
I'm having some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I have an orgasm, I end up having these really, really bad cramps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are the cramps?
Like, it feels like my uterus just kind of clamps up into a big ball, and it stays like that almost all day.
Wow.
All day?
Yeah.
Is there any chance you have infection, or if you had a pelvic exam recently?
Mm-hmm. I just went, like, about a week ago, and they said that, they saw nothing wrong, and they did all these tests, and they said there was nothing. They didn't find anything.
Are you on any medication?
Nope.
And that's from orgasm, but not from sex without an orgasm.
It just, all right.
So we'd be okay.
Do you ever
hook up?
Do you have repeated orgasms? Multiple orgasms?
Yes.
We could really hang now.
Is it
a layup?
Is it only after a certain amount of activity that this starts to cramp? Or, I mean, can you hold off at a certain point?
Like, it's even when I masturbate, it just happens.
No, I understand, but can you limit the number of orgasms, so to speak?
Yeah, I could, I suppose.
Can you hold back a little bit and maybe not take it to the point that you're
cramping?
Keep
it to a baker's dozen.
Yeah, but...
Jessica.
Hmm?
You know how many orgasms are in a baker's dozen?
Wouldn't it be like 13?
Yeah, see?
That's why you get the big bucks, baby doll. All right, Drew, what about it? Just keep me back? How about orgasm via oral sex?
It's probably that way, too.
She probably doesn't like that so much.
Like the oral sex?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't love it?
Well, it's fine. You know.
Oh, boy, could we hang. Boy, could we hang. Do you like giving oral sex?
Sure.
I'm coming out to Seattle.
Okay.
Me and Paula Abdul will be in the front of the next plane that lands.
It's probably just really a muscular spasm, quite literally.
All right.
And you got to hold back.
All right. I feel sorry for poor Ariel. Has been on a hold for 117 minutes now. Ariel? Uh-oh. Ariel fell asleep. 14. You there, Ariel? All right. See? I tried. Lord knows I tried. Tony.
Yes.
Female, yes. Tony, you're convinced your meth use is affecting your dog?
Well, I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but
yeah.
I know it does affect, it probably affects any living thing that's around you, but...
Speak up, please.
Okay. I've noticed recently that she's become more and more aggressive towards my other dog. I mean, she is very possessive of me and...
Yeah.
All that.
All right. All right. Well, Tony, we don't do a pet show.
How about stopping the speed?
Yeah. You know what? That's another thing. I think I'm going to be putting myself in 30 day. It's called the Elba House.
Great.
Down here.
Excellent.
Excuse me.
Excellent.
And I don't know if that would. I don't think that's really going to help me. I mean.
Well, why don't you try it? Here's the thing.
It will.
Put it on hold because their connection's so bad. We've had some horrible connections tonight. Go in with whatever attitude you want to go in with. Just go in.
Yeah.
How about that?
There you go. And some of your paranoia and preoccupation may just be from the speed itself. It'll make you perceive all kinds of things about people and relationships close to you. I've not had people complain about their animals, but I could see where they could get preoccupied with the animals, too.
Well, you
because
know.
Because the aggression is always directed at them. You know what? I'm sorry.
My cat thinks he's a person who's covered with hair and has an exposed anus. So, and paws. And who licks his own genitalia and eats off the floor, you know, out of a bowl on the floor. But she does think she's a person.
Literally.
Literally. By the way, if you're one of those people that thinks your animal thinks it's a person, here's number one. Your animal don't think. That's number one. Your animal doesn't think you're a person. Forget about what it is. Animals don't think about stuff.
That's right. That's being an animal.
That's why they fall asleep in the street and get run over by UPS trucks. They ain't long on thinking. They do a little reacting. They don't do so much thinking. He's a person. I always like that one. It's like, nah, they think they're a dog. They think you're an a-hole. And that's about as far as they get.
Two quick answers. Anna wants to know if she can get pregnant from dry humping. No. And somebody wants to know which book of mine they should read.
The new one.
Well, Cracked is pretty good. Cracked's coming out in paperback in about a month.
Cracked's coming out in Banana Leaf.
Papyrus.
Papyrus. Yeah. One couple steps lower than paper. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Randy Jackson in here tomorrow night for American Idol. Again, the over-under on him calling someone dog.
3 minutes.
All right.
For me.
I say 9 seconds.
All right.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Up in the back of my neck. Drew is going at it. He swears it's going to pop. Ow!
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Eagold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.